Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The text this morning is from John chapter 17. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be all one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. During the weeks following Easter, the gospel lessons are taken from the Gospel of John. And today we have verses from chapter 17, which is the section which is called the High Priestly Prayer of Jesus. In fact, each of the years in the three-year lectionary, we hear a portion of John chapter 17 on the seventh Sunday. So today we hear this prayer of Jesus to his heavenly Father regarding each one of us. So as Pastor mentioned, we are at the end of the season of Lent, of season of Easter, with the celebration that we've had for weeks of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. So now today, as we hear these words of John, what can we know about our lives of faith in this prayer of Jesus? Now, the Gospel of John begins with those very famous words, very familiar to all of us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So today we hear the Word made flesh, Jesus, praying to the Father, not about the disciples, but about us. And his prayer is a prayer for unity, unity among the believers. This unity of believers flows from the unity that Christ has with the Father. And this unity of the Father and the Son and the unity of believers results in a common witness to the world, pointing to the love of the Father. Now, there's a lot of unity in that statement, isn't there? It's a lot to take in. The result of this unity of believers, united in, with, and under the love of the Father, is a focus on the life of the world. John recorded the words of Jesus as he proclaimed the unity of the Father and the Son. Jesus spoke those, again, familiar words, "I and the Father are one." So the Word made flesh was sent by the Father to make the Father known. And how did Jesus accomplish this? The Word made flesh, the beloved Son, revealed to the world the Father's love and compassion. Jesus healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, brought forgiveness into the lives of countless sinners. The Word made flesh proclaimed what the will of the Father is for the world. And that reminds us of those familiar words of John in chapter 3, quoting Jesus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I'm sure most of you could recite these words from memory, because it's such an important message stating the gospel. The gospel in a very simple form. It reveals to us the love of God for the life of the world. And what did this love for the sake of the world look like? This love is revealed in the sending of the Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, becoming flesh and blood. And this love is a sacrificial love. The very Son of God gave his life as a sacrificial lamb to atone for the sins of the world. Remember those words of witness of John? The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And from 1 John we have these words, "In this has the love of God been manifested among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an expiation for our sins." Knowing God is found simply in his love and mercy. Knowing God is found in the forgiveness of sins that he grants so graciously. When the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed through this gospel message, the world sees and experiences the love of God. The world begins to know who God is. It's hard to stop with those verses from 1 John, where it continues, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." God abides in us. God lives in us. And that takes us back to our text in John 17, where we see the unity of believers in Christ. We are all one in Christ because God abides in each one of us. As we hear the gospel proclaimed, as we remember our baptism, as we receive the Lord's Supper, God's love abides in us. It lives in us. And it's this love of God in us found in Christ the Lamb. And it's this love that unifies us. His love brings us together in a very unique way. We're all different. Different backgrounds, different physical characteristics. Some of you are native Coloradans. Many of you are not. There are some CU Buff fans among us. But there also may be some big Red fans, and maybe a couple Hawkeye fans, Chief Illini. But as I look out on the congregation, the differences go away, because each and every one of us is an individual for whom Christ died. Christ has showered his compassion on each one of you, for he willingly went to the cross for each one of you. And so God's love abides in each one of you, and his love is perfected in you. So you are here today because of that great love for you in Christ. And it is that love that brings us together and is the source of our fellowship with one another. It is that love that unites us. And this love, this unity, is for the life of the world. Now, John uses that phrase earlier in his gospel back in chapter 6. This comes at the end of Jesus' bread of life message following the feeding of the 5,000. There Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Now, in the prayer, Jesus prayed to the Father, "So that the world may believe that you have sent me." Now, the world, that word, plays a very important part in the Gospel of John. Just a few quotes I've had this morning, you heard the word world. Now, it's very easy for us in our witnessing to take the gospel and apply it to that person that you are witnessing to. And there's nothing wrong with that. Some of you here are old enough, you may remember an organization called Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ. Maybe some of you have heard of that. Well, they had this little card that they used as a witnessing tool. And it was John 3:16, but it was kind of made personal. And so it would have the words of John 3:16, but in place of the world, there was a blank. And the witness, the person witnessing to, you would ask their name and you would insert their name to make it more personal. So you would have a statement such as, "For God so loved Rick that he gave his only begotten son so that Rick should not perish but have eternal life." And so that is a very good way to personally witness, to share the gospel with someone else. But I think we must not forget the world. And who would the world be? Of course, we could easily see the world would be all those people out there. People who do not yet believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, the world might be people living across the street, down the block, around the corner. The world may be a family member who has fallen away from the faith. The world would include people who live on the other side of town, whose primary language is not English and have not heard the gospel in that heart language. And of course, the world would be people living all over, people who do not yet know Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So living out our unity in the faith, abiding in God's love as the body of Christ, as his church, we live for the life of the world. Jesus' words from John 13, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another." The love of God has an impact on our lives. We are assured of our salvation. We are assured of the forgiveness of our sins. But it also results in our loving others and living for the life of the world. The people of the world, those living close to us and those far off, will know the love of the Father through the love demonstrated in the body of Christ. Now, it takes a different mindset to see everyone gathered here as part of the body of Christ, to see each person here as one who has been redeemed by Christ the crucified. And it takes a different mindset to see that what we do here in this place is for the life of the world. As we gather for worship, we gather for the life of the world. Those involved even in the smallest task do so for the life of the world. That means those who keep the kitchen clean, those who mow the lawn, those who shovel the snow, those who count, and even those who just come on Sunday morning and sit in the pew and receive God's good gifts, do so for the life of the world. And it takes a different kind of mindset to view the people of the world, that is, those living outside of the scope of this church, as people for whom Christ has died. We remember the parable of the prodigal son, where the father, who is also very prodigal in his lavishness of his grace and mercy, has compassion for his returning son. Instead of waiting for that son to come to him, he rushes out and welcomes him. May the Holy Spirit give us such a spirit of compassion for those in the world. For all of this, our Lord continues to intercede with our Heavenly Father. Jesus prays to the Father on our behalf so that we would know more and more of Christ's love for us. He continues to pray that the world would also know this love as well. "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you loved me." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.